You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Showing Love for the Lord. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
In 1979, the Warner Communications Company published a book which proved to be both a bestseller and a bombshell. This book, titled The Culture of Narcissism, written by Christopher Lash, was described by one major magazine as brilliant and provocative. In detail after detail, with full documentation, the author has forced America to look into the mirror. We have become, the author says, a society that is interested only in itself. We are selfish, self-centered, and self-serving. Never in the history of mankind has there ever been a society so interested in itself, so set on itself, and so uninterested in the lives and concerns of others. We want to do our own thing, regardless of how others feel and what damage our attitude may cause to our marriage, our family, or our friends. One divorced lady who was recently interviewed was asked why her life took such a negative direction that it did. She said, "I didn't want to live for others. I wanted to live for myself. I put myself as number one, and then everybody else comes second. It was my decision. I wanted the divorce." With the help of powerful mind-changing technology of television, and with the push of billions in advertising for materialism, and after constantly being brainwashed by popular slogans such as, "You go around only once in life, so get all you can," as a result of this propaganda, you and I have been changed. Yes, you and I have been transformed into something that God does not want us to be. We are now filled with the sin of selfishness. We are self-centered and full of ego-driven vanity. We are so self-oriented and selfish that it sounds foolish and even ridiculous to hear God in His Word saying to us, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Selfishness and self-centeredness has not only torn away from you and me the real joy of living, but unbridled ego trips have caused endless fights in families and tension in marriages. It has promoted divorce and caused many homes to become places where many family members now only eat and sleep, but otherwise they prefer not to be. Therefore, it is with great urgency that you and I, especially during this Lenten season, that you and I, with the help of God, that we get off this endless merry-go-round of me-ism. Through sincere repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to repent. That's right. You and I need to repent of the sin of thinking only of ourselves and to become refocused onto humbleness and forgiveness, and especially in our families and among those we love. Of course, on our own, you and I are powerless to change our lives. However, by Christ's example and by the power of God's life-giving Word and Spirit, your life and mine can be transformed from cold self-centeredness to a warm joy of serving others. Be kind to one another, the Bible says. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God, in Jesus Christ, has also forgiven you. Now, however, the critical question still is this. If you and I sincerely desire to change our lives from self-centeredness to the joy of serving others, where do we begin? What is the first step? In the midst of Lent 1998, let us therefore look back at what could be called the first Lent. There we can see how God, through His gift of forgiveness, empowered one dedicated follower of Jesus to turn away from herself and onto the love of her Lord and Savior. Listen now. Yes, listen closely to this story from the Bible, and let this historic event of Mary be for you that first step of God-pleasing repentance and faith, whereby your life will be redirected away from cold selfishness and toward the warm love of serving others. St. John writes, 6 days before the Passover, which was shortly before Christ's death, Jesus arrived in the village of Bethany. This is where Lazarus lived. Remember the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead? And so then the Bible says, when Jesus arrived, they made him a meal, and Martha did the serving. In the course of the meal, the Bible explains, Mary took a pound of very costly perfume, and she anointed the feet of Jesus. Then Mary wiped his feet with her hair. And the Bible explains that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Have you ever been in a building with a very strong smell or odor? Well, this is the way it was. The perfume Mary had poured on Jesus' feet, this smell was all over the house. But then the Bible explains, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray Jesus, when he saw what Mary had done, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Judas said this, the Bible explains, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. You see, Judas had the money box, which he pilfered from time to time. Jesus therefore said, "Let Mary alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Now, of course, it is difficult for you and me in our self-centered and selfish world not to be greatly impressed by the actions of Mary. The perfume which Mary poured on Jesus' feet was very, very expensive. Its worth was probably equal to about 1 year's wage. In today's situation, this might be $20,000 or $25,000 or maybe even $30,000. Consequently, as we see this, many of us might be moved to say, "I wish I would be so motivated to love others and to give things to the Lord like Mary did." Oh, indeed, Mary could have been selfish. She could have been self-centered and self-serving, and of course, she could have spent all that she had on herself. But instead, she poured out her love for the one who would pour out his love for her in his blood. With her expensive perfume, Mary anointed the one who, through his innocent blood, would redeem her from sin and release her from the devilish grip of selfishness and empower her to a new life of service, both to Jesus and to her family and friends. This, my friend, is also what you and I need in 1998. We, too, need to be released from the cold grip of selfishness, and, of course, that is why it is encouraging to hear the good news from the Bible that in Christ, God has delivered us, you and me, from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, including the sin of selfishness. And so then, my friend, just as you are greatly encouraged to hear that your past mistakes and failures are forgiven by God in Jesus Christ, so also Mary was drawn to Jesus. You see, for many months, Mary had been a close follower of Christ. She witnessed his miracles, and with her own ears, she had heard Jesus say again and again to many people, "Your sins are forgiven." And as Mary anointed Jesus' feet, Mary also knew that Jesus would soon be put to death. You see, Jesus had foretold his crucifixion to his disciples, and we can be sure that what they knew, Mary also knew. St. Mark writes this way, "And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Then the Bible adds this brief but powerful statement. Jesus was stating the matter plainly. And so then, 2,000 years later, you and I are in the midst of Lent 1998. This is the time for us to do like Mary did. And along with people all over the world, we need to refocus our thoughts upon Jesus and to recall that it was our sins that crucified Christ. If you and I are honest and serious, then we need to face the sobering fact that our past lives are filled. He is filled with failures in God's sight, and it was also all these same mistakes that nailed Jesus to the bloody cross. If you are married, think of some of the selfish remarks that you have made, maybe to your husband or wife in recent months. Or if you are middle-aged and your parents are still living, consider the kindness you have failed to show to those who helped you when you were a helpless child. Or maybe you are now a busy parent, and you are so busy with your selfish self that you wish your children would simply bug off. Maybe you try to get rid of them even by telling them to go watch television or to go and play with their friends. Selfishness, yes, selfishness is probably the number one sin of our modern age. We simply don't want to make time for other people. And for this selfish lifestyle, you and I deserve God's wrath and punishment. But thanks be to God, because of His great love in Jesus Christ, God has given us a way out. God has rescued you and me from the curse of our sins, but God demonstrates His love toward us, the Bible explains, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for all, the Bible says, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Oh, what good news it is for you to know that God has forgiven you your sins, all of them. However, as you look at some of your past mistakes and failures and misjudgments and bad decisions, you may feel that some of your friends and even members of your own family, they have never really ever forgiven you. God has forgiven you, but they haven't. However, my friend, you see, if God has forgiven you, and He has in Jesus Christ, then it makes no difference what other people think or what they say about you. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me?" Jesus said, "He who believes in Him, in Jesus, is not judged." St. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Again, the apostle says, "Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is He who intercedes for us." And so then, at this moment, for all of you that are listening today, I want to challenge you. Let me ask you this question very directly. From your own experience of where you work and where you shop and where maybe you go to school, do you believe that we today live in a society that is filled with egos and meism and selfishness? Do you believe that your life also has been infected by this sinful disease? Do you believe that when Jesus Christ died on the bloody cross of Calvary, that He paid for all of your sins of callousness and selfishness and coldness and ego trips? I hope that you do believe this, because you see, this is the good news of the gospel of God. And without the power of this gospel, you are destined to live under the grip and the slavery of sinful self-centeredness for the rest of your life. Oh, my friend, don't think for a moment that with your own power or with your own dogged determination, you are going to make a change in your life. Just as a lion has a death grip on the neck of a small, helpless deer, so also the devil has his teeth sunk deeply and firmly into the heart of all who refuse to repent of this sin of selfishness. And without the sin-cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you will never, ever get free. The Bible says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody to devour. In the past, your life may have been infected by and even driven by selfishness, but in the future, let your life be guided by and empowered by the forgiveness and love of God in Jesus Christ. And when this happens, you will surely experience not the coldness of self-centeredness, but the warmth of the love of God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.